was in theaters.
I saw it in theaters, and I was just like, that was one of the first times I ever saw a horror movie, and was like, this really is not good. I feel like I'm confident in that.
That's why it stuck with me.
It's pretty famously one of the worst horror movies.
It stunk with me. My clothes smell.
Yeah, yeah, but the sequel. Hey,
get out of my house. Oh, The Signal. Loved it.
No. Oh, is that hey, that movie? Spoilers.
White Noise 2 has incredible reviews. It has the fucking dude in fucking so Firefly, bad. And it's so bad.
So bad.
It has good reviews, though?
Yeah.
Like IMDb and shit. How. It's bizarre.
Did you check to make sure it wasn't the cast
reviewing it? It easily could have been, but this cast is about to review some movies. Boom! Manton, whoa. Give me the signal. Give me the signal. Put it on me, coach. Put me in. All right, there it is. What's going on? Welcome back to the Horrible Podcast, where we like to bring you a uniquely face value view on horror movies. Today we're going to do The Signal, another good segue. Boom, boom.
God, that was
killing
good.
Killing it.
Banshee Chapter, or The Banshee Chapter. I guess there's a the in there. That's one of my pet peeves. I need to make sure the these or thes are there. Pontypool. Nothing there, just Pontypool. I'm Devin here with the co-host. I have just Blute and Manton. I guess Dylan's not here. That's on my notes.
See you guys. Bye.
I'm out of here. All right.
Psych, I'm back.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, it's good to be here.
What's going on, man?
Did you guys fall for that goof there where I just said,
I literally
like, I'm
thought
out of here.
You had left. I was. I swear
actually,
to God.
I did look.
Hey,
to
who the
right.
Fuck are you?
All right, that was sick. Dylan's here. I'm sure we got a sweet bird sound in the background. I hope we did at least because it was a pretty...
Our window's open. It's sweltering in here.
It is very hot. But Dylan, I think your interview is over. I feel like you've said enough and you've also...
Fine, move on. Bye. See you guys.
Speaking of fucking white noise hey. And dead air, Jesus Christ. Manton. What's up?
I had something. I lost it.
That was a rough
after after Dylan playing with his microphone like it's episode one again. Come on, bud.
Phantom Menace?
Yeah, oh, there it is.
Well, how dare you?
You asked for that one, though.
You did.
That's it? Manton?
I mean, I guess. I told you I was ready, and you fucked me up.
Well,
move along. Go to
Blue. This is the nature of the podcast.
Oh, no. I was going to say it's the first day of summer.
Oh,
the thing you said
it?
About the birds reminded me, yeah.
Oh, the little birds tweet in the background cartoon show?
Only tweet I know is Twitter. Follow us.
At HorribleCast. We'll be coming there soon. Crushing. Speaking of that, coming somewhere soon. Blute's here right next to me, and his head is in the microphone. He can't handle it right now. He's too weak.
What's up? I'm too wicked, dude.
I'm too wicked right now.
Too wicked deep, literally.
I got him chambered in my keister, and I'm ready to go somewhere.
Wait, you butt-chucked him?
Absolutely. I covered a tampon in Wicked's ale, and I put it in my butt.
Shove it up your ass.
And I hope I perish.
You're going to get a yeast infection,
gross.
Dude.
That would be so hot. Feels so good compared to my life. My wife.
Oh, nice. There
nobody
it is.
Knows why you're bringing that up. We'll get I can't to that. Wait.
Whatever.
You guys want me to? You want to leave?
You want to do this one unplugged?
Yeah.
All right. See you later, buddy. God, fuck the introductions. Fuck them. That was garbage. I'm gonna say more important stuff. We're on Patreon. Patreon.com/horriblepodcast. HORRORBLE podcast. Give us your money. We're also on iTunes and Stitcher. We have episodes every Wednesday. Easiest way to add us and rate us on those two aggregators because it helps us a lot. And we're on email and Twitter. Email's horriblepodcast@gmail.com. Twitter's @horriblecast. Drop the pod. Remember that joke, guys?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
What? We have an email. It's from Josh Pseudopod Myers.
Okay. God, I'm loving all of your
my
names.
My man.
They just get
my
ready.
Man.
This is ironic considering our last situation. Hey, guys, I need some advice. The Horrible Podcast is locked in as my favorite cast, and
hey,
I anxiously
thanks,
look
buddy.
Forward to it every week.
Whew. I'm sorry.
My problem now is that I'm having some real trouble finding other comparable podcasts to listen to.
You wanted to say comparable, didn't you?
I was going to say comparable, but I was very... I was
I
quick
see
to
it.
Change it to comparable.
I could see it in your eyes and somewhere else,
I could
too.
See it in my dick. My dick.
I could see it swelling.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah,
I did edit this a little bit because it was very, very flattering.
Wait, you edited that and not the rest of this podcast?
I wish I could.
Devin
I
also, he episode. Wanted to say lengthy, but...
Oh, nice. I'm going to edit that out later, too.
he didn't want to give it to me.
Shut up! All right, so it was very flattering, very nice email, but he said, help me out here. Trying to weed out the chaff for me. What's good, guys? What can I fill my ears with between Wednesdays? Blister?
It's too easy and too dreamy.
P.S. I love me some horror, comedy, sci-fi, fantasy, weirdness, odd stuff, and scary German fairy tales about death and fornication with fairies.
That is
just
really
for starters.
Specific.
I don't know if there's a podcast out for you.
All right, Devin, movie with all those qualities, go.
A movie? No, he's asking for
Pan's
a podcast.
Podcast.
Yeah, actually, yeah, that's pretty close.
He's but he's asking for a podcast, which is...
Yeah, so I don't know. Do you guys listen to horror podcasts? Or is this specifically horror podcasts?
I think
or
he's asking for
podcasts?
General. Yeah, just podcast recommendations.
What do you guys listen to?
But I think he's looking for a horror, comedy, sci-fi, fantasy, weirdness, odd stuff,
well, we
scary fairy tale podcast
we can touch
about death and fornication.
We can touch on one at a time. I mean, like, sure. It can be something that's
okay,
in
fornication.
Any of those.
Fornication. Don't have a fornication podcast.
German fairy tales.
Oh, I've got a ton of those. there is lore that's out there. It's super popular right now.
Yeah.
I've been kind
what
of falling
lore?
Off of it a little bit. It's, I think, a decline in quality, but the earlier episodes are really,
like
really solid in that one.
What is it?
It's a podcast where a guy does, it's really impressive research. He goes through, like, spooky folk tales and, like, urban legends and, mm-hmm. and like historical stuff, and he does some really good research to kind of paint the picture of it. His voice, there's a weird inflection to it that kind of gets on my nerves after a while, but mm-hmm. I think he's doing a really good job out there.
So inflection and hard work aside, like, is he hot?
I have no idea, Bootster.
Shut up. All right, tangentially, on the lore podcast, this is actually interesting because just a few episodes ago, maybe last episode even, I listened to a podcast where they mentioned lore, and that is the way I got first inspired to do a podcast. It was a horror movie podcast, very run-of-the-mill, but very well researched, learned. It's basically a couple professors. It's a guy who's a writer and a really good host who talk about horror movies. It is literally just the horror movie podcast. We have had people talk about how they're not into the very sober...
Style. You're not going to get any dick jokes.
Yeah, you're not getting dick jokes. It's very straightforward, very sober style, but it's also...
Sober is not a word you could use for our show.
Exactly. But it's also very, very... It's smart... knowledgeable.
It's good stuff. Cool. It's long and
very
they release
long.
Really infrequently.
Yes.
I don't think they actually have
so
a
this
schedule.
Is the exact opposite of us, which
it
is like stupid
is.
Every single week. Drunk.
But I would say like that's one that I listen to on a regular basis.
That's
and
cool.
Another one I listen to on a regular basis, which is not close to that, is a comedy podcast, Comedy Bang Bang, which a lot of people probably have heard of. But the reason I'm bringing that up, first off, we make a lot of my wife jokes, and I'm pretty sure that's popularized from that podcast.
It's been a while.
And it's been a while. It's been a while. Yeah. That stuff's from that podcast, so I don't want to take credit for
Wait
those
a second.
Dumb things
I
we
thought
say.
That was just you.
Nah.
Oh.
Anyway, the reason I'm bringing that podcast up, because I like to believe that we're a nice little marriage of the horror movie podcast and Comedy Bang Bang, because our style is very similar to Comedy Bang Bang's in that we just kind of get into a room and we do it. We don't edit shit out. Oh boy, sorry.
That was pretty
there
funny.
We go. There's the comedy bang.
Yeah.
But their
it
style
is,
sex. Most I would say most or a lot of podcasts at least just are very heavily edited, and they're just like kind of like they edit in parts here and there and all
this
shit.
We just make you wish that we did that.
We
part.
Get into a room and we talk for an hour and a half. That's what we do, and then we end it. That's what Comedy Bang Bang does. I like that fluidity. And then I guess I would compare us to a horror movie podcast because we talk about horror movies and we do get delve seriously into them.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just fucking around the whole time. You'll see it. But I do like to hear that people like that kind of marriage of styles. I think it works for us.
What about you guys?
I mean, I agree with everything Devin just said, covering each other in fluids, diving right into each other,
oh,
and
boy.
just getting into a room and just
I do like
doing
all
it.
That.
I mean, it's sweaty.
What about podcasts?
It's hot. It's heated. But oh boy, do we finish strong.
Yeah, more
good
podcasts.
Input.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, good input.
Yeah, there's a few that I listen to. I listen to My Brother and Me.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Which I'm sure a lot of you
that's
guys
fun,
heard.
Yeah.
I like their spinoff of that, The Adventure Zone, which is basically them and their dad, and they do a D&D campaign, and it's super, super funny.
I've
definitely
heard about
recommend
that too,
it.
Yeah.
Another one I've been listening to a lot is called The Spinoff Doctors, which is this guy Jim Sterling. He's like a video game journalist. But he does that podcast with another guy, and it's about films based on video games exclusively, and it's really, really funny. If you're into both of those things, I would recommend it. Another one that I like is called Lou Reads.
That one is fun, yeah.
It's basically a guy named Lou, and he goes through and finds really bizarre web forums and reads you threads and all the comments and stuff, and it's super, super funny. Definitely check that out, too.
I'd also like to plug, there's a one called Watch Out for Fireballs if you like old video games. I think they do a good job with that one. They got a couple of spinoff ones, too. They're a network.
The long and short of it is that there's nothing like us, so just keep, just stop fucking
Thank
trying.
Thank God.
Stop trying. We're the best. All right, so we're going to get into our first movie today. Thanks for the email, Josh, whatever the fuck your name is, Myers.
Pseudopod. I like that one.
Hey,
that
keep,
was good.
Keep on, keep them coming. Keep them coming. Keep them
come
coming.
Come on, Blitzer.
You're as bad as
Blitzer. Come on. No, we're trying to egg him on, and he's just...
getting Pontypool with it. Keep him coming. Yeah, keep him coming.
Hey, speaking of,
we're going to talk about The Siren.
Weird
segue.
No, it's not the title.
What is The Siren?
We didn't watch a movie called The Siren.
God damn it, I already forgot it. We're talking
maybe
about The Signal
reason for that.
From 2007, some fucking indie film out of somewhere that somebody did. So I'm going to give it to Bluester. He looks ready. He looks as ready as everybody, as anybody.
So if you're confused, I want to clarify. This movie is called The Signal.
Excuse me.
Yep. From 2007.
Not 2014.
It's a different movie.
No Lawrence Fishburne.
That's right, Evan. There's no Lawrence Fishburne. This isn't The Matrix, even though this movie wishes it that it was.
Does it?
It's green. Anyway, let's get into this movie. Let's dive in. Let's jump on it, and let's finish.
It's the second time.
This movie has three directors, and if you start watching it and you don't get it from the beginning, this movie is kind of an anthology. I don't want to say it's fully committed because it doesn't give you any hint that it is, and there's no clear tone shared between the three of them, like that's very obvious. So we basically start out with a young woman named Mia. She's hanging out with some hot young guy. girl is hanging out with guy, and they're loving and things like that. They're lovers, and we find out that she's cheating on her boyfriend Lewis, I believe is his name, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's cheating on her boyfriend Lewis, and so she's having like regrets about this. She goes home, and Lewis he's acting a little strange. He's hanging out with his boyfriends, you know, not his lovers, but his guy friends, and they're hanging out. And all of a sudden, they start going into a rage, and they just start fighting each other. And Lewis quickly just bats one dude to death in the middle of their fucking living room. And you're like, what's going on, dude? Turns out, there's something on the TV, the signal, you might call it.
Mm-hmm.
And the signal's making people do weird stuff. So she runs out, and she gets out of the house, and she stays in her neighbor's apartment for the night and tries to get away. She wakes up, and it's like some kind of weird apocalypse. So basically, we're trying to... You know, we're following her as she's trying to get out of this city called Terminus, and she's trying to escape, and all the while she meets some interesting people. We start following other people and seeing their stories, and the whole movie's green, and it's a pretty interesting little romp. What do you boys think?
When Blucher says the whole movie's green, he's talking about it was 2007. There was that unfortunate, like,
post-Matrix.
Weird, trend thing where, like, every movie had a stupid filter in green, and it actually looks... a lot like a poor man's 28 Days Later as far as filter goes. But yeah, that's definitely a misstep in it.
I do not miss that filter. I don't know when it started going
away.
Nobody
does. But, and for some reason, the only movie I've ever seen that it doesn't bother me in is 28 Days Later. That's why I bring that up.
And The Matrix.
And The Matrix, sure.
The Matrix does it right.
I think, it's fine, yeah.
I think the 28 Days Later does it. It has this weird color, but then they commit. The movie just looks like
it's
shit.
It's committed, yeah.
And it's like a central part of the gross feel of the movie.
Right,
but
sure, it works.
You're watching this, and you're wondering, like, does it make it better?
Speaking of, this movie definitely takes a page out of the book of 28 Days Later as well. Well, as movies like Shaun of the Dead at some points. But that being said, I don't want to start off on the completely wrong foot because this movie isn't ruinously bad. It's got some very good things going. I think it actually starts off pretty well.
Shit, man, I'll say it. I think the intro portion of this, not the very intro.
Not
we
the
have
very
to talk
intro.
About, the very intro, we were super confused. Man, what happened?
So out of place.
We get given something very strange at the start to the point that we stopped the movie and tried to make sure that we were watching the right
thing.
That's
how out of place it is.
It starts out when we've got like something of a very, very typical slasher. We've got the two girls running away from some strange guy with glasses, and he's just trying to kill them. He's like tying them up with barbed wire and stuff. And we were like, is this the right movie? This looks like crap. This looks awful. It was the right movie. We find out that
was crap and was awful.
And this is what's weird is that we find out that they were watching it on TV, or the TV turned on, and then at that point, the TV turned into the signal, the titular signal. And that's when our characters start acting weird.
Yeah.
And honestly, this opening segment, I think commission? What do they say?
I don't know that.
Transmission.
Yeah. Transmission 1, yeah. It's broken into three transmissions. So transmission 1 takes sort of, like Devin said, a more 28 Days Later approach. And honestly, it's not bad. I think at that point, the movie still had us, and we were kind of interested. The tone was like slightly strange. You got this, I wouldn't say like comedy feeling from it, but it did have this tone of like, sort of like, you're not exactly sure where it's going to go. We don't know what's serious, what's not. But then things get really weird because Transmission 2 goes to full stop.
Before we get to that one, though, like Transmission 1, I do want to harp on, and this is one of the reasons that ultimately, as we're going to see, I think we're a little disappointed about this movie. The first part is really strong, actually, I'll say. Like, I was on board with watching it, and I was excited to see where it was going.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, pretty over-the-top violent, but it seems kind of gritty and realistic. Like, there's It's a cool concept and everything. Like, it was all clicking with the exception of, like, this stupid mixtape thing that they have, mm-hmm. like, where she keeps, the main character keeps wearing these headphones and listening to cool music and stuff. Other than that, I was like, I'm ready to give this a gem. And then
I kept thinking that the headphone, the mixtape thing was like a purposely cheesy thing,
nah.
and that it was going to be played up, and
nope.
there was going to be some kind of ironic twist with it.
No payoff.
No, not at all. But yeah, so we move into Transmission 2. We kind of meet two new characters, and this is where things, I think, probably, I definitely started losing
yeah.
interest here. I don't know about you guys.
Looster.
I loved it.
I didn't quite lose interest. I was actually maybe, it kind of piqued my interest at first. Because
yeah,
I was
actually,
like,
I'll say
this is fucking
yeah.
weird.
Sure.
But it wasn't, but I didn't like it. It had my interest. I didn't like it, though. Booster, so you did have a point to make on the first part, though, yeah?
Well, we kind of brought this up last episode. We mentioned, I can't remember what the movie was, but we were watching it, and it didn't feel like a, it might have been two episodes ago with Student Bodies, but it didn't
boy.
Feel like a competent, like, there's a thing where if it doesn't feel competent, you don't, like, trust it. But in this movie, we were watching the first Transmission, and there's, like, some really cool tension that happens.
Yeah.
Like, she's in, like, a garage, and there's, like, this weird dude just, like, bleeding on the ground. He's asking for help. And
oh,
we're like,
yeah.
We're like, oh, yeah, ignore him. He's just fucking with you. But then we actually see that he's injured, and she's like, we're like, well, that's kind of weird. And she goes across town. And, like, I would say the first Transmission had me gripped.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
As weird as the movie looked, and I wasn't sold, I was like, okay, I'm going to keep watching. But then you guys keep mentioning the Transmission 2, which is a drastic tonal shift in this movie, but they don't, like, it doesn't seem apparent at first. You're watching it and you're taking it as seriously as you took the first Transmission, but it's like setting you up for failure.
That's,
don't you guys think?
Because nobody tells you that this is a series of movies, like it's, or what do we call them?
Well, do we know for sure?
Nobody tells you it's an anthology, and then suddenly it's an anthology, and you're like, what?
It's an anthology within the same small universe. Where
with the same characters.
That coincides with the same characters, yes.
Do we actually know if these are each directed by different people?
They feel
know,
like it.
There's three directors, and there's three Transmissions.
Yeah. I
that seems
about
too
it.
Ironic.
I do think that is the case, though.
I
definitely
do,
seems
too.
Like it,
because the second one goes the horror comedy fucking route, and it tries to be very Shaun of the Dead-ish. And the other two that flank it are nothing like it.
Not
so
at all.
Not even close, which is a fault of
which,
this film.
But which would have been okay, I think, had there not been the same characters in all of these. So you're seeing, like, these characters
right.
just step into a parallel
right,
universe
right.
for a second and then step back out, and they're asking you to take it just as seriously as
yeah,
you
be
were.
Yeah, be an anthology
right.
or
and
don't
like,
be an
what?
Anthology. We have seen anthologies where characters coincide, like Trick or Treat, but they...
Yeah, yeah
but they
which
did,
does it masterfully.
They do it masterfully, and they don't focus on the same characters throughout
well,
each little individual story.
I would say that a reason why that works is that the tone is the same throughout
yep,
all those
yep.
things.
True.
Like, they're all these kind
it
of like...
feel confusing.
These like almost... little myth stories that are kind of punctuated
and they're also
by...
focused on their own individual characters depending on the story
within
right
the story,
and
yeah.
then they run into each other
and
this
then, yeah
and this we literally go from the girl and then go into this house where we go into Transmission 2 and like we had no idea that things were going to be different. Like we didn't know what to expect going into this and like they started having all this like weird dry humor and we didn't know if we should be laughing or just
right.
crying because it was so strange. Like
and the dry humor does end so abruptly and it goes straight into a very fucking like torture
yeah brutal
torturous,
torture.
Brutal yeah ruinous themed toned situation. It's like wait, I was just supposed to laugh at these dumb fucking Shaun of the Dead poor
they're,
man
they're literally
the
making
jokes.
Like weird racist jokes against
yeah.
Indian people. I'm
like, well,
like come on.
And I honestly say like the early parts at least until it gets to that racist character Jim Parsons
Jim Parsons
at least
oh,
we remember
boy.
His
what
name.
A
until,
rough character
until it gets to him like that comedy is not completely misfiring for me. Like,
no
it's
I agree
kind of competent but it is just so out of place. It's,
no, I think that the comedy is there and I was not willing to throw this one under the bus because they were making jokes that whiffed here and there. But then you did have the character, and this is where you're like, okay, these
yeah,
guys aren't very funny.
Stopped.
He walks in, he says, like, hey, are there any sluts here? I'm trying to pee in someone's butt tonight or something.
Direct
it's
quote.
Like,
right. Direct quote.
And
right after we had this, like,
quote.
Very serious, like, intro.
Yeah, very serious situation, and that was a joke, and that's when I was like, all right, guys.
I think what we're trying to say is that, like, this movie is, the pieces of it are competent, but, like, the way they're sewn together is so disorienting and jarring that we weren't ready for them.
It's
like, they,
so frustrating.
They didn't give us any way to, like, get in there. And then, for me, on top of it, that we keep talking about the signal, the transmission, the thing that's making these people go bonkers.
Yeah, we gotta talk about this.
They keep bringing it up, right? And the whole thing with the signal is that you don't really know what's real and what's not. And so they're just using that as a weird trick to, like, constantly be tricking you in these scenes. And so you're even more disoriented.
Which one or two times is worth it. I think the thing with the severed head is really, it's kind of neat.
That was kind of funny.
It's kind of funny. It works for a little bit. But then, like, they do it at the end. Like, the ending, everybody had just completely given up because they throw, like, three twists rapid fire at you in a row, and they're all dumb as shit. And it's just like, come on, man.
And we got into a new transmission, and so we're like, okay, what's the tone now? And then they're just, like, tricking us. We're like, okay, well.
And, I mean, we watched a lot of movies, but I felt a lot of sense of genuine confusion in the room towards the end of the movie. But like Brandon was saying, like, we don't have anyone that's like especially grounded that we're following that we can say that we can say like, okay, they know what's real, so we know what's real.
That's a good
point. There's so many moments of just like, oh nope, that didn't really happen. Oh, we're back in time. Now we're forward in time. No, that didn't happen. This happened.
I feel like the guide character they had and they just lost was the main girl, and then she just disappears for the movie. Yes. She's the only one who's remotely sane through the entire thing.
Right. I think if she had stayed with the movie, it would have been much more.
And you know who they brought back in? I'm not trying to do shots fired on anybody here, but AJ Bowen, I'm so torn about this guy because he has been in some of our favorite stuff and in some stuff where I'm just like, dude, shut up. Like,
well, he's good at playing this sort of douchey character.
AJ Bowen's nonchalant douche play a guy who acts normal in dire situations.
He does his thing well.
That's his
description. And, like,
I love him.
I love him in You're Next. I love him in House of the Devil. Brief role he has
in
there that's really scary. Yeah. In The Guest, he's good, but like
Sacrament.
I keep thinking that maybe a lot of these movies, because this is from that Splat Pack community or whatever, a lot of these movies are just excuses for AJ Bowen to have a starring role.
No,
like,
I think
this one
think
really feels
out.
That way.
I think he lucked out. I think he had the right friends.
But
and
his character in this one has no reason to be in the whole movie, and he just keeps showing up. And it's
I mean, I think plot wise he's relevant, but the problem is that we like again we're going back to like we don't know who's who and what's real, and like they quickly dismiss him in the very beginning of the transmission, and then we come back to him, and then he's like this main role. And like we don't really know what he's, I guess his.
I don't feel like he did anything wrong. I think
It's just the use of him in this is strange.
I'm standing by it. I think that the individual pieces of this are pretty good. There's
maybe,
a lot
even
of,
the acting's good.
There's
too.
A lot of stuff in this movie that's good. It's just disorienting as fuck.
Yeah, honestly, AJ Bowen, I thought did a good job for what he was given. And this movie for me exuded lots of talent in all different departments of filmmaking. And
I'll give it that.
As far as indie movies go, and that both. Disappoints me, but also makes me happy because I know these guys go on to do better things.
Oh, yeah.
But there's serious issues in it.
But this one, like, I just wanted to yell at them the entire time, like, keep it simple, stupid. Like, I just wanted to see these same people, everybody involved, make a like cohesive regular movie. Like, I just didn't want them to do all this like weird plot twisting shit and anything. Like, it just got in the way.
Yeah. So normally I would recommend this movie, and I'll go around to my review. I would recommend this movie because it makes me happy to know that indie makers out there that this exudes passion and it exudes all kinds of ability and talent in all different departments of filmmaking as far as that goes. And I love that. And I love to know these guys went on to do bigger and better things. But in this very specific, weird, unique scenario, I'm not going to recommend it because I know these guys went on to do bigger and better things.
Just
so watch the bigger and better things.
Yeah.
This one, at this point, you don't need to support it because these guys are fine. I feel like they're doing all right. So AJ Bowen's doing all right. These filmmakers we know have done better things now. So normally I would say support these guys, watch it. But face value-wise, I'm going to say it's really not worth watching. It's kind of forgettable. I'm not going to rewatch it. And if I'm not going to rewatch a movie, I'm not going to recommend a movie. That's basically my rule. So that's a stinker for me. But I love that these guys are going to do bigger things now. So what do you think, Bluster?
Yeah, I think Devin, that was really fair. Like, I want to stress that there's good things in this movie, and I think there's a lot of things that were done really right. And I think all of us can all agree when we first started the movie, we were pretty gripped.
Mm-hmm.
Like, once we realized the first few seconds were like some kind of weird troll, and then we get into the movie, like it opens up, it's gripping, and we were ready to go. But like by the end of it, you're so confused and so disoriented, and they didn't give you enough. They didn't give me enough to grab onto to keep watching it. Like, it gets to a point where. Movies can be very confusing and very weird. Like, I'm thinking of A Field in England.
Yeah.
But there's always something you come back to, bring you back to reality. You know, okay, I can feel confident that that is real and I can trust that. And in this movie, I never felt like I had that, and it just started to lose me. And so it kind of bummed me out. And so I can't recommend this, not because it's a shitty movie, but just because I don't think you're going to get enough out of it that these guys were trying to give you. I feel like they tried, they did things that I just don't think they were successful.
Yeah.
So
sure.
It's a light stinker. I'm unfortunate, but yeah.
What do you think, Manton?
I think unfortunate is a good word because, like, it sucks. Like, there's a lot of movies where I watch it and I'm like, man, this kind of is not good, but I wish it was. And this is one of those movies where I think there's a lot of good concepts here and there's a lot of good things that work. But ultimately, this movie for me is just a mess. Like, I didn't really get much out of it. I really gave it as much goodwill as I possibly could. But towards the end of the movie, it really started losing me, especially in that second transmission. And it's unfortunate. But like Devin said, they did go on to do better things, so that's cool. But the reality is, the movie is just not that good. So it's going to be a stinker for me.
What do you think, Dylan?
I mean, this movie is like a train that gets off to a runaway start and then just comes to a screeching halt, falls off the tracks, and then tries to get back on.
I wouldn't say the train crashes, yeah.
No, it's just like wobbling off of it, and you're just
how
like,
many trains have you seen do that? Jesus.
Tons. It's all the time. All the time. No, it's a mess of a movie. And like Manton said, it is one of those ones where I was just like, oh, I want this to be good. Like, and I just want to see, and I have seen these guys do simple stuff, and I just wish they'd done it in this one. You don't have to do any, like, weird dissertation of a movie. You just have to tell a compelling and gripping story, and they had it for a little bit there and lost it, and it's a stinker.
Yeah, Dylan's right. These guys definitely run the circles of, what'd you call them, the Splat Pack, that mumblecore group that are involved with the VHS films and stuff like that, including guys like Your Next.
Shit, dude, just watch the VHS films.
Yeah, Adam Winger and them. So, that's great. They went on to do that kind of shit. Check out VHS. Those movies are tight. A lot of heart in this one, but it didn't quite land just yet. But they did get it at some point. So we're going to move on to the next film. Also, I feel like might have a lot of heart, and it's the Banshee Chapter. It's an interesting one, and I'd like to get a synopsis from the first person who saw it of the group. That's Dylan. Tell me.
I've been trying to get them to watch this one for a bit because I was kind of torn on it when I first saw it. It was one of those Netflix ones where I was like, oh, that looks interesting, and mm-hmm. I popped it on. It is about a girl named Anna, I think, right?
Yeah.
Who is, well, it starts off with her friend who is doing a weird, like, DMT, like, one of the MKUltra, like, experiments that they did. And they keep showing these flashbacks of the government doing this brain testing, which, crazy enough, is true. Like, they were doing, mm-hmm. like, some mind control stuff. But then this one goes into a whole different category. But he takes this drug and then starts hearing this weird, like, a number station repeating signal coming through, and eventually gets ambushed by some fucked up weird creature or something and disappears. And she goes looking for him, and along the way meets up with like basically Hunter S. Thompson, a guy who's playing him, Thomas Blackburn, I think, mm-hmm. who is actually Buffalo Bill from
Sons of the Lambs, yeah,
which in a really good role. I really like him in this one. And then she just kind of tries to track down the signal and try and figure out where her friend went, and we'll see what happens.
All right, I want to talk about this one. I want to talk about how I was introduced to it. I think I found it on a fucking list of movies probably before it came out, and I was like super looking forward to it. It was supposed to be Lovecraftian, H.P. Lovecraft. It's supposed to.
They mention From Beyond.
I know they do. And then the artwork, the DVD art, is very, very.
It's a cool poster.
Artistic, cool.
Is, yeah. That's what got me into it.
So what's interesting though is that when I went to this movie, I'm not being facetious. I'm not being hyperbolic when I said this movie almost couldn't have been further from what I expected. Unless it was like a comedy film with fucking Adam Sandler, like some semi-racist film that would be on Netflix right now, which I'm sure he has plenty of. Mm-hmm. But this movie, I expected something very artsy, very high budget, blah, blah, blah. This movie starts off, and one of its flaws, in fact, that I'm sure Manton want to talk about, is that when it starts off, I assumed it was found footage, and it took me a while to realize it wasn't found footage.
We don't know what it is.
We don't know what it is.
Yeah, I think we should definitely get into that. But I wanted to mention, I had sort of a different thing than you, Devin, where, like, I think naturally, if you know nothing about a movie, you're still going to make some kind of assumption on it, whether that's based on the cover, the name, anything you know. I think it's just human nature. But when this first started, I expected something along the lines of what's the Mila Jovovich movie that we hate?
The Fourth Kind.
Oh, the Fourth Kind. I was expecting The Fourth Kind.
Yeah.
And this movie is not that.
It's not.
I would say that this movie was definitely a lot more into like the jump scares and like the fun elements of horror than I expected it to be. Whereas The Fourth Kind, I think, takes itself very, very, very seriously. This movie doesn't make itself into a joke, but it does try to have fun with you. And, like, this movie kind of filled the role that I sort of wish Annabelle did in our last one.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, I gotta say, when you bring up The Fourth Kind, I can see similarities.
There are similarities. And I will say,
I think this movie takes itself seriously, though.
It does. But what I mean is, like, this has elements of fun in it. And, like, for me, there's like, two categories of horror. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot more really.
No, there's only two.
But, like, I guess what I'm getting at is, like, there's the kind of horror that is, like, dread, and it really gets to you. And there's the kind of horror that's, like, a haunted park ride.
Sure.
You know, it's, like, the fun, the thrill of being scared. And this movie, for me, falls more on that.
I agree with you there.
And I haven't seen a movie like that in a while that does it well.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta say, I think this movie does do it well. Mm-hmm. I think this movie does its jump scare as well. I think this movie does those fun elements. Like Dylan brought up the character, the Hunter S. Thompson character, basically Hunter S. Thompson, almost literally.
Yeah.
I hated that guy at first, but I started to like him. And like, that's basically my thing with the whole movie.
Yep.
When this movie started, I will wholly admit I was watching it in my room by myself. I was playing video games while I started it. And about 20 minutes in, I was like, actually, this is kind of fucking scaring me. I'm actually going to pay attention to this.
It took me only 2 minutes or something.
There we go. That's why I wanted to bring this one in, because like I turned it on, you know, looking for like a shitty Netflix movie, right, to put on. And I was like, actually, this is good. Like, and I just think it's good in that very like baseline horror thing that we often look for, like jump scares and just... Like, I think the premise alone is really scary in this one, and it's one of the things that keeps me going in it. Like, the use of the sound, the number station, those things are fucking terrifying, no matter how they're used.
What are they called exactly?
That's a number station. It's a real thing, too. It's just these, like, rogue stations that, like, no one really knows what they are, right?
It's like short something radio.
Shortwave radio.
Shortwave radio, it's,
We think maybe used for, like, Soviet spies. To try and like give them coded information, but they're still running to this day.
It's also used by drug lords, crime lords, shit like that.
And they sound terrifying. They sound like a like distorted hell version of like an ice cream truck. And they use this one in that one to like bring in. I mean, really, honestly, these are all disparate elements. Like none of them really connect. They're not. I don't like the signal doesn't have anything to do with anything else. But it all kind of works.
Yeah, I was watching this and I was getting the same vibes you guys were. And what I thought was that. Man, if I don't fucking love a good 90-minute just fucking, like, thrill ride, just jump-scare-ridden fucking spooky capsule of a film, then, like, who the fuck am I? I've always loved that, and that is what this is. And I immediately, to this movie's credit, to its major credit, when I saw this and finished it, I wanted more. So I looked at people also liked on the IMDb when I of this movie because I wanted to see another 90-minute just unapologetic, fun, fucking, like, found footage. And again, we'll get to that type spook fest of a film. And that's this movie knew what it was. It did it to a T to me. I loved it. I loved that part of it,
I think it's funny because I always like try to take as many notes as I can on the movie. And like all my notes started out kind of negative. Like I said that this movie bores you to sleep so it can scare you awake with its jump scares. But honestly, like after a certain point in the movie, it did start to grip me. And that's the thing. Like I have to give it credit for that. Like, I won't sit here and say this movie doesn't have problems, but I will definitely give it credit.
I'm gonna say
it settles into a hell of a healthy rhythm. Like this,
I agree.
I think it's a good paced movie.
This is a movie that spaces its jump scares well, because just you saying bores you to sleep to scare you awake, I think that's a testament to how it did space it out well enough. Because and then eventually you said you weren't quite as bored. I agree. I think that its spacing was well as far as scares go, and I will say. It caught me in the first minute or two. I jumped out of my fucking chair.
The first scene scared the shit out of me.
The first one got me, and it's very low budgety. It's not very fucking fancy, and I can see 10 or 20 or 30% of people watching being like, "That's fucking stupid."
I mean, essentially, it's like effective. A Grave Encounter scare. But
I was going to bring up Grave Encounters,
and I rewinded it because I wasn't fully paying attention.
I did
and
that
then
too.
On the rewind, the tension was still there, and I was almost afraid to rewatch it, and then it worked again. I was like, "All right, kudos."
I have to say, like, there's something I've been wanting to like say, and I think this movie perfectly encapsulates it, which is that like with jump scares, that is always like the big controversy. Like everyone talks about jump scares. But for me, we could take something like this versus Deliver Us from Evil.
Those are the perfect examples.
A good jump scare like should build the tension, and then you get that release, which is the jump. And then you look at something like Deliver Us from Evil, where like things just jump out, and there's no the tension buildup isn't good. This movie has good
it's
tension
very good
buildup.
Building tension.
There's a lot of scenes of like characters in the dark, and you know it's coming, and it and you want to be like this is stupid, but it still gets you, and it still gets you.
The scene in the basement, especially, I think is one of my favorites in this movie, where like you know something's coming, you just don't know from where, and it's just that level of uncertainty where you're like,
I will say, if you choose to watch this on Netflix, I almost always watch with subtitles. Do not watch subtitles on this because they're slightly ahead, and it will ruin every scare. It will ruin all of them. So I really want to. I know Brandon is like
been awfully silent here.
He's having a happening moment right now because I know.
Bluster, you didn't mean to jump out and scare you just to get into this.
Jesus, I don't know. I don't really know what to say.
Like, okay,
all of you are universally agreed that this movie is pretty good,
which is interesting. I want to make the point that we all watched it separately.
Yes,
right. And did. this is why I called this one up. About is, it. This is why I called this one on. It was because like I saw it and I was like, I liked that question yes. mark. And so I want to hear what you think because I think it might be what I originally thought.
Well, I mean, so one thing that these guys are hinting at is that there's some uncertainty about found footage and all this stuff. And to me, I felt that uncertainty through the whole movie.
Yeah.
I will say that these guys are hinting at something grips you later on. And I think it's once we get to the Hunter S. Thompson character.
Yeah.
Because that's giving us like a thrust.
Yeah, he's
and
a good
following it. And he is definitely good. He's a character. But like, all the way leading up to that, I don't know. I was very disoriented. Like sure. I never, like we meet the main guy and he's doing a test and then he goes he goes missing. Okay, so we're like, okay, this girl, she's gonna try and find him. I guess she loves him.
Yeah, it's like it's his insinuated.
Close friend and borderline lover, maybe. Sure,
she wants to give him a little
friend
kiss.
With benefit.
Yeah,
FWB. So anyway, she goes after him, but then I feel like it's a huge long while where she is kind of like meeting random people and we kind of forget that this guy is there. And all the while, like they're like you guys said, they're trying to pepper in scares. But I guess I wasn't as sold that those scares like were justified. She goes into the desert. Oh, I got spooked. She goes to the radio operator guy, asks him some weird questions, and then she leaves. And then like I don't know. I just felt like this movie wasn't as like coherent as tight as you guys do.
I'll full on agree with you there, actually, Bluster. That I think that beginning part, like kind of leading up to where we say, I think the jumping off point is where the Hunter S. Thompson character is revealed. Because I think his performance is really fun. Like,
well, yeah. Plus, like once he's there, he is insane and manic, and it leads to what's happening right. in the movie. So
yeah.
it definitely pairs well.
I wouldn't say that the jump scares are necessarily justified, no. nor do they need to be. But I think they were just technically well done.
Yeah, I would agree with that too.
The one you mentioned in the desert, I think, was really well done. It was she thought she saw something, and the way the camera work worked,
I wasn't actually sure.
It was quite well. She was looking around, and then the camera zooms in, and then you see it head on. It was really impressive. That's something that like jumped out to me. It kind of broke the fourth wall because I was so impressed with how they did it. But again, that also brings back the fucking problem that
camera.
It's a camera that might as well be found footage, except it's not.
It's like The Office, where like you just don't understand the
camera,
all the time.
Someone is behind that camera holding it, and from. We are very aware of it.
Which is fine.
This character does not exist in the movie.
Yes.
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
But she also randomly will use... She has like a little point-and-shoot camera that just randomly puts little graphics on the screen that says like battery.
But
and,
I wouldn't say it is fine.
And ISO.
It's not fine.
It's
I'm not saying it's fine. I'm just saying like occasionally that will happen. And like to me, when we were having these scares, like the scares themselves are probably fine. But like I was always disoriented because it wasn't consistent. I was like, is this...
Well...
Yeah, is this found footage? Is somebody with her? Is
Brandon's,
she recording
Brandon's
this?
Brandon's definitely right.
Yeah,
it really bothered me at the end. This isn't a spoiler, but there's scenes where she's running, and she's running to the
camera,
and then she'll continue running from another shot, and she's running again to the camera. So it's not like she was like, okay, you're going to run up there, and then I'm going to run to you.
Right.
It's we're supposed to believe that
it's
this is
found
like
footage.
Found footage, but at the
it's
same
not,
time,
no.
not.
And I think,
it,
I think
it should have just been shot like a regular fucking movie.
I agree.
I think if they had just committed to that, it would have been okay. I think they wanted to have the feeling of a found footage film, but not without
Absolutely.
Necessarily having the like burden
those,
of having to prove
those,
that cameraman.
Yes,
those
exactly.
elements are a mess in this
but
movie.
But here's the thing: like the first time I watched it, that was very distracting to me, and it's one of the reasons that I was like, "I like this?" Question mark. The second time I watched this, I was like, "I like this," because I turned off my mind on that part. Like
yes.
I was able to just ignore that camera. And if you can do that, and I can see how you couldn't, because it is pretty distracting. But if you can do that, I think this movie is real good.
I will straight up say that I think this movie is not smart. But I don't think it tries to be.
Right.
For me, this movie is fun, and like I'm able to watch
sure.
it and sort of shut off my brain and enjoy the scares. I don't think this movie's smart, but I don't think it wants
doesn't
to
need
be.
To be.
It doesn't.
I'm genuinely
to be.
Curious though. Like, what is so fun about this movie? You guys keep mentioning the scares and stuff. Like, we
yeah.
expect to be scared. We watch horror movies. I mean, we fucking
right.
watch
well,
hundreds.
That, well,
of
there
stuff.
You go.
That's the
you just said
I,
it right
yeah.
there. We've watched so many. I've been binge watched so many horror movies in my fucking day. This one was a 90-minute didn't overstay its welcome. Fucking thrill fest of just consistent scares from beginning to end. Literally, because the first minute and a half,
and the last minute.
I jumped, rewound,
yes.
jumped again, and said, "I know what I'm watching now." And then it stayed consistent. Sure, there were some lulls here and there where I was like, "All right," This movie's, the characters aren't heavy enough and deep enough for me to be able to fucking watch it on that alone. Yeah. I need more spooks. And then they came, like they like as promised, as expected.
It's kind of like, we discussed this a bit in the last one. I know I said to Devin before we watched Annabelle, I was like, I just want some good jump scares. Yep. I want to sit back. I want to get scared. I want to get jump scared, essentially. And like, it's kind of like the comedy thing. It's like, I want my scares per minute. For me, this movie delivers the scares per minute. Yep. Like, I was sitting here, and like I said, I totally admit I was ready to not pay a whole lot of attention to this, but it grabbed me, and I was sitting here, and I was genuinely like, oh, fuck, something's going to jump out. And I was like, this is the feeling that I want. This is exactly what I want from a movie like this.
There are three or four, even, I can think on the top of my head that I can say are jump scares that will be remembered by me for a long, long time. And that alone is a fucking... If a movie gives me one jump scare that I remember a year from now, that's huge.
Let me guess, is it the beginning?
The beginning?
The basement?
Yes.
And the hallway in the test facility?
No, I would say the outside one, and I'd say the end.
Okay.
The final one made me laugh out loud. I'm sorry.
I love it.
It was good. It was good, but I made me laugh out loud.
But we shouldn't talk too much on it. I got the same cheese out of it. But I was like, well done. It established enough credit... And I didn't even expect it, actually. I don't know how I was lulled out of that, but I was like, whoa, shit, okay, yeah. But anyway, that's the test, the story of this movie. It did what it was supposed to do, and that was scare, and I didn't even realize that. We can talk about it through our reviews, if that makes more sense at this point.
Yeah.
I'll let Manton start it off.
Sure. I was ready to shit on this movie. Legitimately, like, I had a lot of negative notes in the beginning. I was making fun of it. And I didn't even have to bring any of that up because ultimately it kind of won me over. And like, I don't know. I think that this movie is, within the genre of like the jump scare fests and movies that feel like they're just designed to propel these jump scares. This one does it right. This one does it well. And I can't be mad at it for that. And if someone wanted me to recommend, a scary movie to them, something that's going to just be a fun thing to watch with their friends, eat popcorn, drink, whatever. This is one I would say.
Yes, thank you.
And it is on Netflix, so there's that too. I'm going to give it a gem.
That makes me so happy. You guys know me as well as anybody as far as my taste goes. And when it comes to horror, my number one priority is always the spookiness factor. Number two, second fiddle plays, quality of movie. I don't care. If you can scare me, that's more impressive than a movie that can be good. And this movie is spooky. I will say it. I wanted to watch a fucking spooky movie. I always want to watch a spooky movie. And when it actually achieves that, I'm impressed. This movie genuinely spooked me. And I was watching in the afternoon alone in my bedroom, and that still was effective. Mm-hmm. So yes, perfect example, Manton. You want friends to come over on a fucking weird Saturday night when nothing's going on. Maybe it's rainy, have some popcorn. This is what you watch. It's 90 minutes. You don't have to think too much, and it's genuinely scary. And those are the perfect horror movies. That's why horror was fucking made, I think. And I love it for that. It's not the best movie I'll ever see, but it's fucking perfect for what we've talked about. And I think it's a strong gem in that. What do you say, Dylan?
I actually, Devin mentioned something about it being not kind of that ongoing tension, but rather just jump scares. I actually think it does both pretty well. And it is kind of unsettling in the moments that it's not actually trying to scare the shit out of you. And it does both of them, so I can't fault much of this movie. It is kind of a mess. Like, there are parts of it that don't work, but I don't care about them because the rest of it still kind of won me over. And having watched it a second time, I like it even more. It's actually a pretty strong gem for me, and I'm still kind of perplexed about that.
Me
but,
too.
Like, dude, just watch it. It's really fun.
Yeah, strong gem for me as far as face value goes because I'm a plebeian, but that's not quality. I'm not talking quality. And we need a dissenting view to talk quality right
and
now.
Brandon, please, dude,
go whole ham on this.
Don't hold back.
Yeah. I'm not
going to
weigh
like
this, but I guess I don't like Friends, and I don't like
you don't like Friends TV show.
And I don't.
Is it never, Ross or Rachel?
I've never watched Friends.
Of course, you don't like it. Then give it a try.
Full disclosure. I guess I don't like Friends, and I don't like the. I don't know. Maybe I'm just worn out from The Conjuring. The Conjuring 2 had a lot of jump scares, and maybe I got my fill already.
Sure.
But I was watching this movie, and I wasn't like Manton. I was 100% ready to watch. I didn't have a single drink of beer. I had water. I was refreshed. I was ready to go. I didn't know anything about this movie. The cover looks fine. It's on Netflix. I was chilled as fuck. And I started watching it, and I was getting disoriented, and I didn't know what to expect. And yeah, there are a lot of jump scares. But maybe I think maybe I just don't like jump scares that much, especially when I'm watching this movie and I'm calling most of them. It doesn't feel...
Oh,
it's like
super predictable.
Oh, yeah.
It is. And that isn't necessarily bad, but for me, it was, like, less fun. I was like...
I disagree, though. I didn't expect a lot
Let
of
the
them.
Man fucking talk.
You guys obviously disagree. You guys liked it.
Yes.
And that's tight.
Shit on this movie
I
for
wish
us.
I liked it. But, like, I was... The whole time I was watching this, I was so disoriented And we get to Buffalo Bill, man, and he is an amazing actor. And
he's really
good. I was like, sweetie's going to carry this. And he ends up just being a drunken fool for most of the fucking movie.
Yeah.
And he does that well. And I don't know, man. Like, every scene would go by, and I would get another jump scare, and I was just like, fuck, give me something else, and I couldn't get it. Mm-hmm. So I don't think this movie clicked with me, and maybe it'll click with everybody else. Maybe it's great. Maybe I'm just a lonely freak. Maybe I don't like jump scares. I don't really understand this movie. I mean,
it's probably divisive.
Yeah, I can
imagine. It is. It's straightforward.
I'm sure it is.
It's straightforward. There's lots of jump scares and stuff, but like you guys hearken it to Grave Encounters, and that is not a fucking compliment.
Oh, I think it's
better.
No, it's
not. That movie was better than Grave Encounters.
That movie was better than Grave Encounters.
I think they're on the same level.
Yeah, sure.
To me, I thought it was so funny you guys brought it up because the effects look similar to me.
Yeah, they do.
Very much.
That was my first thought.
But they do it better.
But they're hidden and done very well.
They're done way better. And I paused it and rewound the first one. And I was, because I was expecting to be like, that's fucking whack.
I did the exact same thing, dude.
And it wasn't. It was fine. Yeah. It worked.
Anyway, Booster, your review.
I think maybe this one's divisive. Maybe you need to check it out. But I think this is a definite stinker. I don't understand the appeal. And the whole time I had a weird sour taste in my mouth. Man, I would not watch this again.
It must have been Dylan's beer.
Dylan right. always gets weird, shitty beer.
Such a bad beer.
All right, that's
don't
three
drink
gems
Black Toad.
And a stinker on 2013's The Banshee Chapter. Very Lovecraftian.
Not really. I know.
Now we'll talk about Pontypool. Pontypool, which came out in late 2000s.
That came out 1 year.
2004.
Actually, I think it was like 2013 or 12 or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Anyway, there's only one person who hasn't given a synopsis. This one shouldn't be that difficult, Manton.
All right, I'm going to try, sir.
Try. No, you can do a synopsis easily enough. We can talk about it afterwards.
Yeah, sure.
I'm not going to give away too much because this is kind of a limited movie, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way.
Yes.
This film starts out with one of our lead characters. His name is Mazzy. He's sort of a bit washed up radio personality. He's heading to work back to the job. I think that he got fired or something or was on some kind of leave. So he's back in the station. He's kind of listening to some of his older broadcasts, I guess maybe to get warmed up. He goes to the station. We meet one of our other characters, Laura Lee. She's sort of a new hire. She's in from Afghanistan. She's doing kind of the technical side of things.
She's a producer, right?
Well, actually, I think the producer...
No, Sydney is.
Yeah, okay. Sydney is our producer. She's one of our other main characters. So they're kind of all just getting back in the swing of things. Mazzy sort of is a maverick. He kind of does his own thing on the air, and Sydney's not too cool with that. But as things go on, we start to hear murmurings of people in town that are saying that there's something weird going on down at Dr. Mendez's office. There's people down there going crazy. We've got a lot of unconfirmed reports, and slowly but surely things start escalating more and more into something very strange.
One thing I immediately want to point out that Manton touched on there right there is that Mazzy's coming back and he says he wants to keep it real. Like he wants to bring real news to the people. He wants to jar them. He wants to scare them.
He's a shock jock.
And, you know, his producer lady, or I think, what is it, Lynn?
Sydney
wants him to stay very clean by the book. You know, don't fuck it up, Mazzy. Just do what I say.
I mean, there's a blizzard.
He's in Pontypool. It's a podunk town in Canada.
And I think he's bored. So we get, but right there immediately, those two are not agreeing, and he's trying to, bring the news to the people. And so as things start to develop in this town, something's going on outside, maybe both of them have a lot of tension, and it makes this very interesting dynamic between these three characters that we focus on.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of reminded me of 10 Cloverfield Lane, or the Lane.
Sure.
Yep. Ooh, excuse me, I said lame.
It is definitely not lame.
Oh, boy. In concept, or especially what would have been the cellar, where you're convinced by people either outside or crazy that something insane is going outside, but who's to fucking know?
It's
you're
the
trapped
War of
in, yeah.
Right. Like the whole
podcast. Very much inspired by War of the Worlds. This was actually, I want to tell you guys, was made both as a movie and a radio broadcast drama.
Cool. I wanted to bring this up.
Yes.
This is a movie that I had this thought about midway through. You could listen to this movie and not watch it, and you would honestly get nearly the same experience.
I almost wanted to say that because, I mean, full disclosure, I watched this movie in two parts. I watched it, and then I watched Game of Thrones that came out last night.
Oh, boy.
And if you watched last night's episode, you know it was crazy. And I came back to this movie, and it fucking grips you. And I think, I don't know if it's the dude's voice or just the way
his voice is so good.
Really, but it is literally, almost literally like magnetic.
So
it just pulls you in.
To your point, and I don't know if you were actually getting to this, but not only was this made both as a radio drama and a film, the original concept of the film was going to be, what's his name, Tony Burgess or something?
Tony Todd.
Whatever. the guy who was fucking speaking was literally going to be him talking the whole time, and the only thing on the screen...
Grant Nazzy?
Yeah, whatever.
Tony Burgess.
Maybe it's the director. I don't know. Anyway, what I'm reading was going to be the radio talking, and then on the screen was just going to be like the sound waves as they do at the radio.
Yeah.
It was literally going to be that for an hour and a half.
I would watch it.
I don't know if it'd I could be interesting. Do that.
I'd rather listen to it.
Yeah, sure. I would listen to it.
But that's that speaks to your point of how this is a very listenable, very fucking like radio-esque movie.
There's a very good reason for that.
Yes.
I don't know. What were you going
to
say?
Well, I'm going to say it has to do with what?
To get your point out.
You do your thing first.
Okay. I wanted to say that. No, actually, no. Dylan, you go ahead, buddy.
You sure?
Yeah,
Dylan,
sure.
You go ahead.
I was just going to say there's a very good reason for that because a lot of this movie has to do with language.
Yes.
Fuck, that is what I was going to say.
Okay, well, go ahead then.
Well, that's awesome.
Okay. So this movie starts out, and we start out with him talking about the name Pontypool and where that name might have come from. And it's kind of this idea that, like, words and phrases and sayings can sometimes get misconstrued. It's sort of like when foreign people, you know, originally came to this country and then they would say their name and that would get misconstrued and written down wrong. And that's why we have like such a wide variety of names and spellings and stuff like that. And this movie is sort of like taking that and running with it. The idea that like language can be infectious and language is a powerful thing that can make you... I think, I don't know if you guys felt this, but even while watching this movie, I'm sure this was intentional. There was moments where I felt like I was going crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Well, I would hear huge things and I was like, wait, what did he say? Am I getting this right?
Manton, yep. Let me talk on that because this movie introduces something the way that It Follows introduced something to where it was a groundbreakingly
completely
new
novel.
Scare, yeah. Yes, to where I started questioning myself and what I, like in It Follows, I started questioning what I see when I look around me. In this, I started questioning what I said and what I heard.
I was thinking in my head
and I was
like...
is language, yes. Yeah. When you start repeating words, if you hear a word and it sounds off to you, that... this movie operates on that to scare you, and that's brilliant genius.
It's funny, they even bring up, there's a concept called semantic satiation, which is like, when you say a word over and over and over and over again, it loses all meaning. And like, this really takes that, and it is scary, and
it is
weird. You wouldn't think such a thing would be scary,
creepy.
But it is.
There are moments, I mean, this is basically a linguistic zombie movie, in like a sense, but like, there are moments in it that are super unsettling when people are just saying words. But it's just how wrong they are. Like, I think of the first time, I think, guess that it happens, where the little girl, prop, and you're just like, whoa, stop.
I think it's something that we've all experienced on accident. Like, we've been thinking a word over and over and over again, and you start to confuse yourself. Yeah. Like, what the fuck am I saying? And you start to wonder, like, what is it? Why would you say that? That word doesn't make any sense or something like that.
So I want to talk about what the director said. He wants to, he referred to the victims of the virus not as zombies, but as conversationalists. That's interesting. But
so
what he says is there's...
I buy it.
There's three stages of the virus. The first stage is that you might begin to repeat a word. Something gets stuck. And usually it's a word that's supposed to be a term of endearment, like sweetheart or honey, which is also so creepy and just backwards and fucked up in itself. Because you think about being with your loved one, and then that's how the virus begins. It's weird. Second one, your language becomes scrambled and you can't express yourself properly. The third stage is that condition is that you get so freaked out about that way that you freak out. And as an infected person, the only thing you can do is try to chew your way through the mouth of another person to get out of it. Those are the three stages,
gross,
according to...
And I guess we should kind of point out that, like, the movie, it all takes place, for the most part, in just this building. And you feel so scared because...
In its entirety.
Yeah. Other than the first scene.
For the most part, they're just describing the chaos outside.
Holy shit, how effective is that?
It's super effective.
Creepy.
And I think part of that is because we have these three characters that we do care about, and we're worried that they're going to get broken into
They have an interesting dynamic amongst the three of them.
They definitely do, yeah.
We brought it up earlier, but there was a very famous broadcast, I don't remember if it was in like the 40s, 50s, or 60s, but they basically started reading War of the Worlds just on a radio.
Orson Welles did it, yeah.
And it was very nonchalant. They even announced that they were going to do it, and then people just started freaking out. They thought the world's being taken over by fucking aliens, and it's just this weird concept that you don't need to see things to be scared. You just listen to it, and it helps that our main guy, Mazzy, is so gripping. Listening to him is just... You just want to hear more.
The guy's name is Stephen McHattie. He's so fucking good in this movie.
The second he gets in the microphone, I'm like, damn, I wish
we
mine was
Bryan
like that.
So fucking hard.
Yeah, he did
look like Bryan Cranston.
We got to get lessons from that guy, man.
Yeah, for real.
I know. I kept really listening
to him, and I was like, damn.
I was actually really jealous. I was like, man, you're not even a fucking professional. You're just acting about like being a radio broadcast,
I'm sure he has some background.
Oh, he's fucking fantastic.
I think when we keep talking about like how scary things are when they're described, I can't state that enough. Like, really very little happens in this movie. It's just people mm-hmm. talking over a microphone, which obviously you guys like because you're listening to this right now. But like, there are moments where they're explaining like the chaos that's going on outside of the town, and it is so much more effective than if you had seen it. I'm thinking specifically about the one where like one of the characters finds like he's like it's her son, like her big son or whatever, and he's on the ground like a baby, and he's just like you hear this whispering in the background, and it's so
and it sounds like a weird child.
Right. Oh
and
my
if,
god!
And if you could see it, it probably wouldn't
it look dumb,
especially like with a low budget indie film. It wouldn't have been as good. There was something else that I wanted to bring up that I fucking forgot.
Well, let me talk for a second.
Because I got Pontypooled.
I want to talk about how the way that people, when they get the virus, try to end themselves. What's so unique about it is they have to have a partner, essentially.
It's super
you can't
creepy.
Actually off yourself. You have to find somebody to help you off yourself. And what they say, there was like they got to essentially destroy each other. They can't just off themselves. And I want to harp on the concept of not seeing what's creepy being creepier. Mm-hmm. And that in a microcosm, that is what I've always thought is the scariest shit ever. And there's a couple examples that come to mind. I think The Sixth Sense does it so well, where you just react to Haley Joel's, his reactions. You react to the way he sees things. Mm. And when you see the fear in his face, you get chills. Same thing happens in The First Conjuring, which we talked about last episode.
Definitely.
Where she's pointing
Lorraine.
At, not Lorraine, where the little girl's pointing in the corner and nothing's there. But she's clearly chilled to the bone. Yeah.
You can feel her terror.
And she's like, there's a man right
and
there.
And you're desperately staring to try and find it.
Yeah, you're trying to find it. I think that is so scary. And that concept stretched out into this Pontypool type movie is done brilliantly, especially because you get the benefit of audio as well.
Yeah, the audio definitely drives it home. I think, and I hate to make this comparison, but I know I dogged on The Happening a lot, but I think the concept in that movie was very cool. And I got very similar vibes in this movie. And that's not a knock against this movie. I'm saying that when we're first listening to them talk about things that are happening and they get people calling in, we don't know what the fuck the problem is. We don't understand what's happening. We don't even know if it's real. But then they get a doctor that comes in later and he tries to explain it to them. And we're fucking confused. We're like, what are you even saying? And you feel that they don't understand the fear as well as maybe they should. And like it has this extra element. Yeah. You're like, you don't understand what is scary. There's just this entity around you that you fucking are terrified of.
The second half of this movie is, I can see, being pretty divisive because it goes in some really weird territory.
Definitely. That's where I start to lose
a little bit. And even though it kind of loses me a little bit the first time that I'd seen it, like the second time I wasn't lost because actually I think that doctor character is important for making you feel confused. You're like, what? Yeah. And then you feel even more confused as they're confused. And this is one of the most like sympathetic terror movies I've ever seen. Like, you just are scared when other people are scared. You're scared for them.
The empathy is really strong in this movie, and Dylan mentions it, like the characters start to act very strangely, and that's part of the whole element of like what's affecting them, and we don't understand it completely until much later in the movie. And so we're watching them have these meltdowns, and you're just like, Jesus, what is happening to these people?
Right, and the whole way the virus operates is that it starts with a weird linguistic meltdown. So that's why, like, whenever I heard a goddamn character stutter, my heart skips a beat.
There's even a few false starts on that where they try to keep, and you're like, oh god.
Anytime, you hear anything weird, like somebody just fuck up a phrase, you get nervous. You're like, oh my god, they got the virus. The idea of a virus being spreading itself through language is so cool, and it's actually done pretty well because they didn't try to do too much with it. They just did it in this tiny little radio station.
I wanted to say that, like, I had put off watching this for years. I've been recommended this movie
many times.
And the reason is because I always hear people say, well, it's a zombie movie, but the infection is words. I was like, that's stupid. Or at least, even if I didn't actively say that, I couldn't help but feel that. And it's so wrong. I was so wrong.
I wouldn't even call it a zombie movie.
It's not.
Here's the thing. Like, I think I may actually have been one of those people who, like, told you not to. Because, like, I feel really odd recommending this one to people because it is so weird.
Well, should we review it then?
Yeah, but before we do, though, like, I do have to – we've been really positive about this one. I do think it does kind of fall off the rails a little bit near the end, but at the same time, that's also part of what the movie's doing. So it's almost kind of intentional, and I can't fault it.
Well, I'm with you, Dylan. Like my whole thing is if I'm watching a movie and I'm not – fully, maybe I'm just an idiot, but if I stop losing grasp of what I'm watching, I start to get frustrated. And towards the end, they start doing some really, really strange things with how they talk, and that's entirely within the story of the movie. It makes sense, but like you start to feel a little confused, and at least for me, I was like, it was losing me a little bit.
So this movie, to me, on that point, and I guess I can use this as my review. We're not a huge time crunch, but this movie on that point does kind of like go into this descent into like kind of absurdity. Especially, and nobody's mentioned
after
this.
After credit scene.
The credit scene is so fucking like Tarantino bullshit.
I forgot about that.
Dumb as shit. Silly.
I thought it was just like a joke.
It's a joke. It is a joke.
It doesn't matter. It's not part, right. of, it's anyway, not part of the movie.
Well, let me remind you now. This is the same director who did Hellions, yeah. Manton.
I wanted to bring that up. I understand.
So this to me is, I didn't hate Hellions. You guys really
loathed it.
Yes, this movie does kind of start showing some flashes of the descent into what he wanted to really make, which was really, really artsy, crazy, out of fucking this world.
But at
shit.
The same time, I'll say that's like 3 minutes. So
right.
I'm fine with it.
So three to me, minutes. This movie was, he had a great concept, and he was like, I know I can put this one out there on film. It's going to be just grounded enough, and people are going to love it. And once I get that fucking credit, and once I get that money and budget, I'm going to do what I really want to do.
Which is hell.
And then he just does it. And he holds it just within himself enough until the last credit, and he kind of fucking splooges on the screen for like a second, and then it's like, all right, that's cool.
But we'll put that after the
credits, and it'll be all good. And then I think he does go on to do it.
Okay, but that... I guess we can't spoil anything, but that after credit scene has nothing to do with the movie at all.
Yeah,
it's just... I mean, and that's fine. Who
it's
cares?
Absurdity. It's nonsense.
What does it matter?
That's what Devin's saying.
You don't have to watch
that's
it.
That's what I'm saying. What's the point of adding absurdity and nonsense at the end of the movie?
I think it was just put in there for fun, a goof.
You're both
was
saying
it fun?
The same thing.
Did you think it was fun?
I just don't care.
Exactly. Don't put it in there. It's silly. So I do think it's a mess to have to put it in there. If every director wanted to put in a fucking silly, absurd,
I'm not watching the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I don't need Sam Jackson coming
those,
on and telling
But those things actually
Avengers.
Relate to the movie.
It should have been in there, man. That's all I'm saying. It's silly. And it does kind of allude to the dude's
I'm with you, Devin. The main difference for me with this in something like the Marvel world or Deadpool or whatever is that they almost make sure that you segue into watching that scene because they keep talking during the credits.
They do.
It isn't
a
fucking accident that we all saw
it. You know what, man? Blue Shirt, that's a perfect point. We all watched it because we all stood through the credits
because they keep you.
I watched it because Dylan told me and then I told Brandon to watch it.
I knew it was going to happen.
And
but
I sat through the credits because, yes, they do that.
They're like narrating to you. I mean, the whole movie is about talking. So, I mean, of course, I'm going to keep experiencing as much of it as I can.
There's a slight indication in that one, though, that what you were watching was not real? I don't know if that's too much of a spoiler.
It's almost like an inside joke.
Yeah, and that kind of, that's where it runs people the wrong way.
Here's what I thought it was. I thought it was kind of like, you know when you go to watch like a Pixar movie and you see like a 10-minute short before the movie, it has nothing to do with the movie? That's what it felt like. It was just something they just filmed.
Right.
And just I hear you, but
the fact that we're talking this much about it means it's
and we know,
contentious.
When we go to Pixar movies, you know you're watching a short. This is not a short. This has the same characters. The only few characters in the film.
But they're not the same characters, just the same actors. It's a totally different setting.
The thing I want to say about that versus Pixar is Pixar, they're putting that in there to give you a goof and a spoof and make you laugh. Like, it's supposed to be enjoyable. And this... I don't really know what that short was supposed to give you. I think it was supposed to confuse you. And it's one of those things where a director's like, haha, look at this. I get it, you don't. Like, that's the kind of vibe I got.
Which
I don't really give a shit.
Which I have to say, like, he doesn't do throughout most of this. And this never feels like it's saying, haha, I get it, you don't.
Because
and then all of a sudden, at the very end, there's that little bit.
So let's get back to it with the reviews. I admire this movie because it doesn't do that. There's no points where I think it does go off the rails too much. And I think from beginning to end, it's a beautiful little capsule, a very simple movie. That takes awesome, complicated concepts.
Oh my god, he's got it.
No.
Oh my god.
We're all gonna die.
I'm about to fucking lose my mind. Jesus, concepts, yes. Oh my god, I'm spooked. But it does it very simply and very well in this pretty short movie. So then the very, very end, which demands you to watch the very ending after the credits. That part bothers me because it's so out of place. I don't get it. But the movie, that is not the movie. I don't care. That's not part of the movie. The movie itself, I thought, was very, very strong. I think it actually is pretty low budget because it doesn't need much of a budget. And it's not a zombie movie, guys. I hate when people say it's a zombie movie.
It's not really.
There's very few things zombie-esque in it. Just watch it. It's a very cool, creepy concept delivered incredibly well on a pretty low budget. And it doesn't feel like a low budget. It feels like it could have any budget it wanted to. It's awesome. It's Pontypool. It's Pontypool. It's Pontypool.
Oh, God, stop.
It's Pontypool. What do you think,
Marvel's
Manton?
Pontypool, sequel to Deadpool.
Oh, my. Nice.
Just saying that just ruined my entire review. I had
you
all
did it this time.
All right, Dylan, what do you think?
No, shut up. Okay, I really, really, really love this movie, and I'm upset that I took such a long time to watch it. It is incredibly enjoyable. It is the anti-zombie movie. It's yep. like when people talk about like The Walking Dead, they're like, it's really about the characters, not the zombies. This is actually true for this movie. Yeah, there's people that are like killing each other outside or whatever, but it in this movie, legitimately, that is just the backdrop for what is going on with the infection itself and the characters. I do have to say, like, I don't get why we even brought up the thing after the credits. For me, that's like not even the movie.
It's I think that's a good point.
Literally completely irrelevant.
Yeah.
I have no clue why we even discussed it at all. But anyways, that's just my two cents. That aside, the movie is a super strong gem. This is like one of my favorite movies from this era. Definitely check it out. If you're like me and you've been putting it off or not watching it because of this or that reason, please give us a fucking chance. Like, this is one of the this is such an interesting, unique movie for sure. Definitely check it out, Jim.
I didn't give it a gem. It's a gem for me as well. The concept's scarier than the zombie creature as far as zombie movies go, because there's no fucking zombies. But what do you think, Dylan?
I can guarantee goddamn to you, you've never seen anything like this movie. And that is a good thing in this case. A lot of times I use that to say, you know, that you shouldn't watch this one. This is incredibly unique, and it's one of the few movies that is really smart but doesn't rub your face in it. It mm-hmm. strikes a perfect balance of that. And it's super accessible, too, in spite of that. It's really scary, strangely. Yes. It's really limited, and it's just kind of a testament as to what you can do when you're really focused in a movie. And I was uncertain about it the first time I watched it, because it is a weird one. I will go ahead and say that. But I gotta say, I love it. This is – it's just definitely a gem for me.
Booster.
I basically want to take Dylan's review and make it mine, so just don't worry about what he just said. No, I'm just kidding. So I didn't love this movie, but the testament that I'm going to give to this movie is that it is the gem for me, and that's because it's so gripping and so interesting and so unique that you can't help but be enthralled. But one thing I wanted to spell quickly is that we've mentioned that it's very strange and weird and it's artsy, but typically when you think of artsy, we're thinking of movies that I feel like the director is really trying as hard as they possibly can to go over your head.
Fuck Hellions, dude.
Exactly, Hellions. I'm thinking of Only God Forgives, I'm Sorry Man, and I'm thinking of...
I haven't seen it, so I don't care.
But, like, maybe even A Field in England, but we all like that. But this movie is not that. It's extremely grounded, and it's very accessible. You're watching it, everything makes perfect sense. But there's a very interesting and unique concept in the background that gives it that extra edge and kind of lets the director, you know, show where they shine, and I think it's really fun. And for the fact that we've all watched hundreds, maybe even thousands of horror movies, and we all have said this is very unique, is a testament to just how interesting this movie is. And I'm telling you, I cut this movie off in the middle, I'm sorry, came back, was just as engaged as if I had never even skipped a beat. So this movie's a gem, man. You need to go check it out. And plus, it's on fucking Netflix.
Yeah.
It's on Netflix. Fucking what's your excuse?
Netflix gem.
All right, let's get to our game and get out of here.
It was hot as balls in here.
It is really
hot. I don't think people know this, but like I have like a window AC unit, and we turn it off and we record, and it is fucking hot.
It's like 100 degrees outside.
We are suffering for your enjoyment.
I am drenched right now.
Sweating.
Dylan, take off your shirt.
Okay.
Take it off. No, really, take it off.
Remove shirt.
And rub yourself.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we're doing a game. We're going to do the review game standard. I'm going to give two reviews per movie. One's for the pertinent film, so Pontypool will be one. Other one for a random film. They decide which one's for the actual film we talked about and which one's for the random film. They're IMDb reviews, user reviews, dumbasses, most of them. but they're always negative for the most part. Anyway, we'll see. You'll figure it out. Whatever. So the first one we're going to talk about is from The Signal. The Signal, which is the first one, The Siren, a.k.a. The Siren.
God.
Not at all. All
right, number one. This has now taken the number one spot on my worst films I've ever seen. This is as scary as watching Scooby-Doo.
That's Dylan and Brandon.
With the lights on.
I hate Scooby-Doo. I really resonate with this fucking review.
Scooby-Doo with the lights on,
Scooby
by the way.
Don't.
Number two, nice.
Scooby-Doo-Doo, more like it.
Nope. IMDb wants 10 lines in this review, but there is nothing to say. Whatever happened to good movies? Go see a rerun of Rocky, except for Rocky V. Well, hope that's 10 lines.
Jesus, come on.
That's pretty funny.
I didn't even try.
Remember that time when we stood up like till like 6 in the morning and watched Rocky?
Cool. Yeah, I was there. Yeah, it was me and Benji and you.
Yeah.
You left, anyway. I felt like.
Good. I got too sleepy. I couldn't hang.
Standard. All right, what do you think it is?
You got to add who?
Sure, it's the first one.
All right, what do you say, Dylan?
I'm going to go with the second one, the 10 lines one. It's clever. I like it.
What do you say? Looser.
I'm going to go with the second one because I think they were trying to channel the humor in this movie, which fell flat. So
it's the first one.
Damn it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Movies.
Second one's for the 2014.
Oh, you would do that. Yeah.
You stinker.
Which we almost watched.
We almost watched on accident. I was like, yeah, the signal, here it is, guys. Oh. I can't believe Lawrence Fishburne is in this.
All right, number one for the Banshee chapter. First review. Avoid this film if you pride yourself a film buff who has a modicum of taste. A modicum of taste and standard in their horror viewings, as this is cheap, half-assed drivel made by rich kids.
Dylan is making a jerky.
Furiously making a jerking
He's
off.
Furiously motion. Jerking himself
Avoid
off.
Avoid this film if you pride yourself a film buff who has a modicum of taste and standard in their horror viewings, as this is cheap, half-assed drivel made by rich kids.
M'lady.
Number two.
Basically.
I could actually produce this movie on my own funds, but way better than this puddle of dog diarrhea.
Is that one of the rich kids?
I don't know. Maybe
he was got my own funds. He was responding to the other review.
My dad owns a dealership.
Could literally produce this movie on his own funds and be better than the other puddle of diarrhea that it was. What do you guys think? Number one, number two, Bloodster.
But I agree with both of these a little bit on different ways. I'm gonna go with the first one. I feel like that probably was a close count.
All right, Manton.
This doesn't feel like something that was made by rich kids. Like I would say something like that for The Signal. But this feels more like number two for me.
See, I felt like they made a lot of references to like literature, and they had like diatribes about like fucking novels and shit. I felt like it definitely was made by rich
What do you
kids.
Say?
I'm going with number one.
It is a number one.
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
I did look up the director. He's not really done anything else.
Huh.
He like did nothing else. So it might have been literally like a guy who had an idea.
He should do
Kudos
more.
To him. Yeah.
Thanks for using your dad's money.
Last, we have Pontypool. If you really haven't got anything better to do than watch this, then all I can say is that you must be single. Come on.
Wow. Damn.
Shots fired.
That's rude.
That was just a shot in the dark.
Jesus Christ. Coming at me. All right. Number two. I had a desire to punch every cynical bastard character in the face. May I vomit?
Good, yes, you good, have my permission.
Good grammar. Good grammar. May I? All right.
Very polite, too. I'm going to go with number one.
All right, what do you say, Bluster?
I'm going to go with number one. There's not enough characters that are going to fit that description in the second one.
All right, Dylan?
I'm going to actually go with two because I can see people being like, oh, this is so up its own ass.
It's number one.
Damn it.
Fuck you, Dylan.
Number two is for Good Morning Vietnam.
That movie's
They wanted
raw.
To punch Robin Williams in the face too fucking soon.
Too soon. Too bad the review is from 2000.
Maybe so he contributed to
it's
it.
Pre 9/11.
Oh.
Oh, boy. Too soon.
Too soon.
Hey!
Too soon.
Hey.
Two references too soon.
On that note, we're going to wrap it up. Guys, give us money on Patreon.
so we can get Central Air.
There you go.
Oh, please.
Rate us on iTunes and Stitcher. It's all one-way relationship, guys. Give us money. Rate us. Tweet at us.
We're very demanding.
And email us on behalf of the whole
You never
crew.
Call, you never write.
Thanks for listening. Listening, and stay spooky. Spooky. Spooky.
It's really hot.
I'm so tired, no one knows.